Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to the Art of Seduction, warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. I am Pam Ray, and co-hosting with me tonight I have Jody Melton. Jody and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. And tonight is our sensual poetry night. If you find that is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out the anthologies put out by Late Night Poets on Amazon, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And hello, Jody. How's it going?
Everything's good. How are you, Pam?
Oh, I'm doing great. Looking forward to hanging out with you and maybe some other cool poets, going through some hot poetry and all that. And, you know, life is good. So
yeah, it looks like a great lineup tonight.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. A lot of wonderful, sensual, and romantic poetry up on the board for tonight. The topic for tonight, or the contest that I ran, was quotes and poem lines by Elizabeth Barrett Browning and her husband Robert Browning. Because I decided to go with that because today was actually Elizabeth Barrett Browning's birthday. And I thought, well, you know, since they were known for being such a romantic couple, you know, I figured why not put the two of them together and, you know, on one contest and invite people to write. And we got some great responses.
And great idea. I think it worked well.
Thank you. Yeah, it did. It did. And, you know, I, of course, told people they could be inspired by more than one. And, of course, since there's a famous couple, I also said, you know, that collaborations are welcome, which we didn't really get a lot of collaborations. In fact, I think we only got one, but that was all right. I also said that individual rights were welcome, too. Just a little bit about Robert and Elizabeth's relationship is in 1844, Elizabeth Barrett put together a second major collection of poems titled A Drama of Exile, and within it, the work included lines that praised fellow poet Robert Browning, and then he proceeded to send her a letter And within that letter, he says, I love your verses with all my heart, and I love you too. And then over the next 20 months after that, they continued to correspond with exchanging over 575 letters.
Wow.
And yep, in only 20 months. Of course, that was, as we all know, way before the internet. So I imagine, you know, it would be like the equivalent of sending, like, I don't know, 50,000 I love you, babe, texts or something like that.
Yeah, I think they still had the phone back then.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But they were actually married in secret. They were married in a church, but they eloped. And were married in secret because her father didn't approve of Robert Browning. And in fact, for quite a while, disowned Elizabeth after finding out about the marriage. But, you know, I guess that's just the way it sometimes goes with dads.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know how that is. But
yeah, they definitely had some great poetry, both of them.
They did. Oh, absolutely. Very just they really just celebrated celebrated poets individually for sure. You know, I think she tended to do more like sonnet forms, and his, I think, tended to be a little bit more philosophical, though that's not to say anything less about hers, but they were both really just amazing English romanticism poets that had a lot to say about love and life, and really an intriguing, just really, I mean, I think pretty much everybody has read them at one point or another, but for anybody who hasn't, definitely make sure to check their work out. It's worth listening to. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get the ball rolling. And we are going to start out with a classic poem tonight, which is Now by Robert Browning. And Quicken, or Q as we like to call him, was nice enough to make a recording of this poem. So let me find that, and here we go.
Now, by Robert Browning. Out of your whole life, give but a moment. All of your life that has gone before, all to come after it. So you ignore, so you make perfect the present, condense in a rapture of rage for perfection's endowment. Thought and feeling and soul and sense merged in a moment which gives me at last. You around me for once, you beneath me, above me. Me, sure that despite of time future, time past, this tick of lifetimes, one moment you love me. How long such suspension may linger? Ah, sweet, the moment eternal, just that and no more. When ecstasy's utmost, we clutch at the core, while cheeks burn, arms open, eyes shut, and lips meet.
Thank you very much, Q, for that reading of Now by Robert Browning. It was just amazingly done, and the SoundCloud great with the background music. And yeah, I just think this is such a beautiful classic poem. I did think about putting up Elizabeth Barrett Browning's famous sonnet 43 with the beginning line, how do I love thee, let me count the ways, because that's a beautiful poem as well. But I just found this one particularly passionate, and one that I thought would work really well for opening the show. And speaking of that sonnet by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, just in case I probably didn't say anything, but the intro song was by Queen Latifah, and as probably noticed from the lyrics, was inspired by Sonnet 43 by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And Jody, what did you think of this classic poem?
Oh, I thought it was an incredible poem. But yeah, as far as her poem you was talking about, I think that's probably the number one love poem of all time, right? I mean,
yeah, I think it's got to be in the. I'm sure it has got to be in the top 10.
Definitely.
It definitely is one of the most well known.
Yeah, this poem he wrote. I thought he beautifully captured the essence of a moment that, you know, feels eternal, where time kind of stands still. I thought he skillfully used his vivid imagery in a kind of a passionate tone to convey the depth of the feeling experienced in the moment. I love that closing line. It was incredible. When ecstasy's utmost, we clutch at the core, while cheeks burn, arms open, eyes shut. Listen, that just was incredible, you know, a powerful impression of a moment that transcends time for sure. Very well done. Awesome.
It really does transcend time. You're right about that. It is because, love is just one of those subjects that we're always as poets going to write about. And definitely this was a beautiful and passionate write. And I really like it all the way through. But I especially like merged in a moment which gives me at last you around me for once, you beneath me, above me. Sure that despite of time, future time past, this tick of life's time, one moment, you love me. Wonderful lines. Very well done. You know. Not that Robert Browning is turning over in his grave wondering what we think of his poetry, but, you know.
He might be.
Yeah.
Probably not.
All right. Yeah, it was beautiful. And right now we have Forever My Lover by Talia R7. In my thoughts, I hear them rumble and roar, sounding just like the ocean shore. Thinking about a man, the one who I will give my heart love. Forever, and we will never part. We crossed paths at the movie theater. We had the same reaction, watching Bob Marley, One Love movie. It was like magic. Our eyes kept locking, and we just smiled at each other. Right then and there, we started getting acquainted. We left the movie together, holding hands. We walked up to your car, and when it was time to say goodbye, we just could not stop caressing each other intellectually. So you offered me a ride home, and I gladly accepted. It feels like we were old friends. We just could not stop. When I reached home, I invited you in. We had dinner and a movie, and I offered you a place to sleep. In the morning, I made you breakfast, and you dropped me at work. From that day forward, we became inseparable. We did everything together. I never knew love for me would be like this. It just started with a simple kiss. Now we are walking down the aisle with God as our guide. Now you are mine forever and ever. Love is so sweet. Love is so kind. You, my darling, was my perfect find and the apple of my eye. End poem. And Jody, your thought on this poem?
Oh, yeah, that was incredible, right? I enjoyed that all the way through. She also used, you know, vivid imagery in this, in emotive language to convey the intensity and the depth of the unexpected love story. I like her use of casual conversational language. I thought that was effective, you know, in the natural and spontaneous progression of the relationship from strangers to soulmates, you know what I mean? That was pretty impressive. It just seemed seamless, the shift from a moment of personal reflection to the shared journey, walking down the aisle. You know, overall, you know, I thought it, you know, resonated probably with a lot of people in their love story personally. You know, it is a heartfelt reminder, you know, love's ability to surprise us. Most often in unexpected places and times, for sure. Awesome, right?
It is. It's a beautiful romantic tale. You know, I'm going to guess that it's a made up story. Though I know there are people who get engaged really quickly, but considering that Bob Marley's One Love movie just came out on Valentine's Day of this year. I'm going to guess they didn't meet get engaged in like 3 weeks. So,
but it's possible. I had a friend who did in 1 month of meeting a girl. We're like, dude, what are you doing? yeah, it didn't last, but yeah, it was pretty wild.
Yeah. Now, I know I have known the rare occasion of people who meet, get married in a short amount of time. And, you know, it works out for them. I know a friend of mine, her parents got married after about like a month. But, you know, but anyway, then if it is true and they did get married within 3 weeks, well, that's all right, because everybody does what works for them. And, of course, we wish them all the best. But either way, it is a wonderful write, romantic, That moment of realizing that you've met the one that's right for you. And I like the little turn she took when she says, we could not stop caressing each other intellectually. So there wasn't just that physical attraction, but that intellectual attraction, somebody who challenged you to, like, good conversation, you know. And so lovely write and very well done. All right, and let's see what we have next. The board is so quiet. I wonder where everyone ran to.
The radio so they can listen to us.
Yeah, right. Well, at least the... At least the posts are actually working. Like, you don't have to refresh the page. That's nice.
It is refreshing, right? No pun intended.
Yeah. Oh man, that was such a dad joke.
I know, right?
Oh, and up next, we have The Breadth and Scope of the Matter by Guilty. And go ahead, please, Jody, and give that a read.
All right. The Breadth and Scope of the Matter. Majestic mountains scale above us. Yet, I dare say our love has an eagle sight. Soared to such heights in cedar tree with no fear of flight. Depths of the azure sea blackened, deeper and darker each league. Yet we sail through stormy weather, content with the bounty of our love. Never can I say we have mastered fate. We are slaves to its beck and call. Its nature hems and hauls with uncertainty, which can make mighty oaks lose their foundations, yell timber and fall. Only mortality can deny me the passions I feel, a red burning heart that blazes still whenever you are near. The ice cool comfort, the touch of your hand, soothes my brow of worry. Your eyes seem to glisten at my appearance. After all these years, I wonder how.
Great read there, Jody. I really like the title of this, The Breadth and Scope of the Matter. And I like how he takes a philosophical look at both love and life and our understanding that while we may try to follow our own paths, we cannot completely master fate. You know, we can make decisions along the way, but eventually we will come to a point where, you know, we bow down, you know, to fate. Never can I say we have mastered fate. We are slaves to its beck and call. Its nature hems and haws with uncertainty, which can make mighty oaks lose their foundations, yell timber and fall. And I like the lines following that too. I thought these were particularly romantic lines. Only mortality can deny me the passion I feel. A red burning heart that blazes still whenever you are near. You know, that passionate desire felt for somebody that you know will never go away till, you know, the end of life comes. And just an amazing write on that deep connection felt. Beautifully written and very well done. And your thoughts, Jody?
Yeah, I thought did a great job, you know, kind of weaving natural imagery with the profound emotions of love. I always like when a poet does that. You know, I thought, you know, the acknowledgement of faith, uncertainty, and the vulnerability of life, you know, added a layer of realism and humility to their love, you know, grounded in the reality of our human existence. Yeah, he definitely, I like the use of his vivid imagery, exploring love's endurance against the backdrop of the you know, magnificence of nature, you know, definitely made it a moving tribute to the power of love. And that's what life's all about. So he did a very good job conveying that through his poem.
I like that. I like that. Very cool. I like how you mentioned how he uses the backdrop of nature, but also the backdrop of the reality of our lives. And yeah, there's no doubt about that, that love is an extremely powerful force. So amazing write and very well done. And why did I say that? I hadn't even commented yet. Jeez. Or had I commented? I had commented. Yes, I had.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it still was an amazing write.
Definitely.
All right. And let's see. I am going to see for as long as possible if I can keep giving me the female voices and you the male voices, but
all right,
depending on, you know, who wrote more, the men or the women, eventually.
I got broad shoulders.
Yeah, no, right.
the
next poem, I will go ahead and give that a read, and because it is Erotic Ride by Betty Page.
Oh, there you go.
And come, let's take a ride. This world's a merry-go-round. Let's escape a while. Dance beneath rainbows, sticky cotton candy clouds. Get high at sunset. Look over the pier as we kiss top Ferris wheels, romantic nightlife. Walk along the shore, shimmering waves crashing slow, gently bubbling down as fine as champagne spilling wet. Sweetly we kiss peach nectars, cream desires, or cream dreams, swift whipping, splashing, shoot down tight tunnels of love, making love furiously. Roller coasters ride, dips rushing, adrenaline vibrating so high, phantasmagoric, vivid thrill rides of neon, love illuminates. End poem. Oh my goodness gracious, I think I need a cold drink and a cold shower after that one. That was something else.
Yeah, that was
right?
Awesome.
Oh. And yeah, for sure. And your thoughts, Jody?
Yeah, it's very sensual, right? I love the way she structured it, you know, that had that rhythmic flow to it, vivid imagery, you know, kind of invited the reader, you know, to immerse themselves in the intoxicating ride that she put us on, you know, of love and passion. I enjoyed the thrill of the amusement park, you know, with intense emotions and experiences. The romantic relationship there, that's always a great place to, you know, get to know somebody. You got a day you can spend with them at the amusement park. You know, I had great metaphors with the Ferris wheel and roller coaster, you know, cleverly paralleled them, the ups and downs, you know, the excitement of that with the unpredictability of a, you know, a romantic relationship. She always seems to do a great job with that. Another one. Very well done, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I did like the, as you were saying, mentioning the roller coaster ride as a metaphor for the highs and lows of love. You know, and really brilliant imagery and metaphors. Beautiful 5-7-5 line. I like how she takes us on this, she paints this picture, takes us on this journey of spending that night together, you know, where on the boardwalk, you know, just enjoying not only each other's company, but the whole, everything that's going on around you, the music, the light, you know, the atmosphere. And she really brings in the intense sexuality, you know, with lines like, as fine as champagne spilling wet, sweetly we kiss, peach nectars, cream dreams, swift whipping, splashing, shoot down tight tunnels of love, making love fiercely. Her double entendres are particularly well done, just towing the line but never crossing it. You have every idea of what's going on, but it doesn't need to be directly said. So, wonderful, passionate write, and very well done.
Yeah, does she always write with the 5-7-5 lines?
Occasionally she strays from it, but for the most part she does. It seems to be basically her signature style.
Yeah, it's impressive how she can get that to flow so well. It seems to me like I'd be handcuffed trying that. I've never tried to write like that, but you know what I mean? So I gotta be handcuffed.
It's worth giving it a try, you know, just for the challenge. But it does, you know, you do have to, because, you know, you have to obviously limit how much you say per line, you know, and it is a bit of a challenge. I don't do it too often. Most of the time, you know, I got way too much to say to limit it to 5-7-5. So
that's definitely me. Yeah, you gotta get like, every word's got to count, right? And then 5 lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and when you're only using 5 syllables, every word has to count. And oftentimes, like, if you're just doing one, like, senru or haiku or, you know, one of those forms or, you know, 5-7-5, just one individually rather than a chain, you really have to think of words that can have potentially multiple meanings if you want to get a bigger message out there. So, I have great admiration for people who can accomplish that. So, well, up next we have Looking by Bear Den 7. And go ahead, please, Jody, and give that a read.
All right, we have Looking. There, the glittering leading path of paths, a wandering skip through time's gravity, sifting grains of love, staying close enough, always, finding that motion, spoken terms of intimacy, grounded wakefulness, misplaced distances, happening to memory, losses, held too dear, still holds my hand. Belief, confronting life, your unbelievable beauty and shimmering ballet. Essential mist to inhale as taste. Each birth already a memoir and a private possibility. A kiss in a moment's immortality. Please. I hold these intimate visions of extraordinary dreams made real. All of our deepest bonds were made in agreements, simplicities in embracing and openness to quiet space, which is needed to live without the images left to our sleeping mirrors. A soft pause held stillness, a sustaining artist at piano, tinkling blues room trances, low chandelier light dims suave, beckoning us this perfect linger. Lifetimes flames with true sight, seeing clarity joyfully, understanding the heart's allowance, which leads our water dance into light. Timelines, all equal to past, present, futures in a single moment. An intuitive day, an eternity of knowing your speaking song, sing nature's lesson, feeling truth's choice. We turn touching our exhales into cherished wedding bands. Delight, touching eternity in this quietness of a northern winter snowfall. All my years and seconds live so quickly among gray blades. A story's absence now lightly holding on in whispers. I pray simply to reach out. Living with you, you and dying transitions in a hospice bed. Quietness for us both. Dark silences, passages, corridors, single tears wishing a return. A feeling back up into my burning ammonia eyes. Maybe another man, another place, another time, I could have saved you. Today, I sweep forth snow. My meditation, reflection of us. Motion lifted inside. Crystal globes infinitely as rebirth. I hear you laugh. Blow you a kiss. Light another fire. End poem.
Great read there, Jody. I really could hear the emotion in your voice. You did that wonderfully. This is such a stunning write by Bear Den 7. It had a powerful emotional impact. And the pauses that he gave between certain lines, like the spacing that he used, either like spacing itself or the dot, 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 gave one an opportunity to kind of linger upon what he was writing about. And there really was a great sense of romanticism and emotional impact to this write, as it spoke about love, and especially the kind of love that transcends time. You know, and he brought the sadness in with the idea of loss and, you know, having to be at hospice with a loved one and having to let go and knowing that even if they're not physically there, the love will continue on. And I really like staying close enough, always finding that motion spoken terms of intimacy, grounded wakefulness, misplaced distances happening to memory, losses held too dear still holds my hand. Sometimes it can be difficult to let go. And sometimes, you know, oftentimes you don't really have to completely let go. You have those memories of those times that you shared together. I also really liked a soft pause, held stillness, a sustaining artist at piano, tinkling blues room trances, low chandelier light, dim suave, becking us this perfect linger. I like that because it makes me think of the whole idea of how everybody, like couples, have what's called our song or our music, and the music that you shared and the way it connected you and what it meant to you. And just, you know, being there in the moment with each other. I hear you laugh, blow you a kiss, light another fire. The absolutely just beautiful emotional lines and amazing imagery and very well done. And your thoughts, Jody?
Yeah, as I kept reading, I was trying to do it justice with the pauses. That's kind of difficult sometimes. But it definitely resonated with me. I can recall watching my grandfather go through the same thing. You know, he married my grandma for 60 years, and she ended up in hospice, and he was there every day, all day. Like, you could just see in his face that visiting hours didn't apply to him, right? So it definitely had me thinking of that time period. It's pretty cool. I love when poems do that. It was a profound exploration of the delicate interplay between, you know, life's fleeting moments and the eternal, you know, the essence of human connection and the loss and the bittersweet tang of memories. know, I like the contrast between vibrant life experiences and the quiet and inevitable approach of death in a hospice bed. You know, I thought that was very poignant. You know, the final stanza was a good one too. You know, with the imagery of sweeping for snow and lighting another fire, kind of suggesting, you know, moving forward, moving on, you know, while carrying the warm memories and the lessons that he's had through his life. You know, it's definitely a reminder of the, you know, cycle of life and the enduring power of love and memories that we can carry with us. Great, right?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, the endearing power of love. Great comment there. And I think that is one of the things that makes this poem work, that while it is sad, it's also sensual and beautiful, because it does speak on the lasting, the memories created together of a love. So very cool. All right. And up next we have Endless Love by Fran Marie. And it goes like this. Question not fate when it doth favor. Relish the taste of love's piquant flavor. For I loved and was loved by thee, and its fragrance lingers. Endless hours of romance to cherish the warmth of thy arms, savoring each passionate kiss captured in the glow of each caress. Embrace sensual desires in every fashion and feel no shame, the greatest gift which uncovers doubt with a sense of command. Let the winds of love upon thee caress, and lay not waste present moments, for you write my soul in moonlight enchantment as I drink in the written words. Not one look nor gentle kiss be forsaken or lost, thrown to seas, wild waves, lest they be mightily tossed. Hold tight love's ethereal essence. My spirit I give freely as the night grows deep. Oh, my sweet love, if in time a cool breeze low and slowly your presence fades from my view, oh, what shall I do, what I cannot know? To live without you, 'tis to deny life's breath, for I shall forever love thee till eternity. End poem. Wow, that is just absolutely stunning. I think she really caught the vibe of both poets, of Elizabeth Barrett and Robert Browning. And just, I really like her use of language in this. And your thoughts, Jody?
Yeah, I agree. I think you could definitely tell a little bit of both rights in this. You know, captured the depth of intense romantic love. Like you said, vivid imagery and rhythmic flow. I thought she skillfully use metaphors and sensory detail to bring, you know, the reader into a world where love is both present and a guiding force. You know, the latter part of, you know, introduced a sense of impermanence, reminding us that love, even though it's powerful, is still subject to the whims of time and fate. Yeah, definitely, I thought it was, you know, a heartfelt ode to love's transformative power. Pretty awesome, right? Very well done, for sure.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I like that, love's transformative power. And you are right. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, you have to enjoy and appreciate love while you have it, because one way or another, you know, it's going to end. You know, and you have that love that lasts, like you're married for, like some people are, 60 years or more. But eventually, you know, death comes, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing to know that in your living moments that you had love with somebody. Wonderful lines throughout. I really like the use of the word piquant. flavor. I thought that was great. And, you know, the tone in this is beautiful, how she puts a little bit of the older language, like doth and thy, but doesn't overdo it, but just enough to where it adds an elegance to the piece. And it really is an elegant and beautiful romantic piece. I do especially like, let the winds of love upon thee caress, and lay not waste present moments, for you write my soul in moonlight enchantment as I drink in the written word. Not one look nor gentle kiss be forsaken or lost, thrown to sea's wild waves, lest they be mightily tossed. You know, that idea that we have to, even through the storms of life, hold on tight to love. You know, wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, I agree. I think it did have a sense of Emily Dickinson in there. I didn't realize that until you was going back through it. That's pretty cool.
It does, doesn't it? It doesn't. And even though it didn't rhyme completely all the way through, there was something about it that had a very, not only, you know, Elizabeth Barrett Browning and, you know, Robert Browning, but, you know, also the Emily Dickinson kind of had that feel too. So very cool. Great observation. And I see Robbie on the board, and he says, yes, I like using older English too, and I find myself being careful to not make it sound like I'm putting on airs. I get that. I get that. Though, if you know what you're doing, I think it's okay to put on airs. There are some people who just, I don't think they know what they're doing. You know, and that's why I try to avoid it, is unless I, like, I'm using a translator or something, and even then you got to be careful. But Robbie, you should call in and join us. But it's good to see you hanging out on the board. All right. Let's see what we have next. We have Seeking the Thunderbird by Eric Svensson. And Eric was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud, so here we go.
Seeking the Thunderbird, shod in dappled shadows sway, lover's love grins, glows, gallows, origami light, flighty footsteps fall. From the outside, tremulous venture inwards, keen senses lean in to glean, hushed togetherness, great expectations. Spiral leads to lovebirds towards its epic epicenter. Alcoves along the way give clues. The seekers construe what each alcove imbues. Gemstone hues ever-changing, precious and semi-precious stones, red jasper entrance arch, tender steps over bloodstone and tourmaline, unto sacral chakras, orange carnelian, golden tiger eyes smiles at them, feather-like touch of unfearful symmetry spurs them on. Fire opal, amber, and heliodite conspire, subtle solar plexus shifts, replete ripples lift, old perceptions rift. Hearts pressed to embedded rose quartz, green agate and green opal. Pilgrim persistent they tarry, enshrine themselves in love's hallowed halo. Turquoise, blue lace agates and kyrite calibrate overtly quiet, hesitant vocal chords. We seek the Thunderbird. sentient senses shift, shod in deeper dappled shadows sway, origami lights, flightier footsteps fall. Lapis lazuli, sapphire, and sodalite smite all resistance. Gatekeepers of the Thunderbird's realm, guide them to close their outer eyes, open their inner eyes. Gazelle light, feathered flight, round the corner glide to the epicenter. Lightning blazes around the Thunderbird's throne. Inlays of moonstone, amethyst quartz, labradorite, and amethyst announce the imminent arrival of the Thunderbird. Excited, two lovebirds recited before their maze meditation. O lyric love, half angel and half bird, and all a wonder and wild desire. End poem.
Great read and write there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. I thought this was absolutely beautiful. Eric has always a great wordplay, amazing imagery and metaphors, just beautiful and passionate lines. And he, of course, wrote to the quote by Robert Browning, or the poem line by Robert Browning, O lyric love, half angel and half bird, and all a wonder and a wild desire. And I like how he uses the two lovebirds and the Thunderbird as symbolism. To me, the two lovebirds seem to be at the beginning of a relationship, a new relationship. And then the Thunderbird seems to represent, because it's in Native American legends, represents the symbolism of strength and power, and the connection between the physical and the spiritual world. And so the Thunderbird almost seems to represent the growing love, the love that becomes more than just the physical attraction, that becomes something spiritual, a deeper connection. I really liked his use of alliteration in this, with sentient senses shift, shot, and deeper dappled shadow sway. And his use of the colors and the stones, the lapis lazuli, sapphire, and sodalite might all resistance. The power that one finds not only in love, but within the elements around them, and the way that, you know, the power of nature and legends can speak on love. And this is really got some wonderful, passionate lines, you know, especially where he says, subtle solar plexus shifts, replete ripples lift, old perceptions rift, you know, to that sense of movement that has a sensuality to it, and also the idea of seeing someone in a new light, seeing a relationship or seeing love in a new light. So wonderful right, and very well done. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, he did an incredible job. The place I get my haircut, they you sit back in a chair at the beginning, they put a hot wrap on your forehead, and you lean back into the sink and they scrub your head, shampooing it. And it's just such a great massage. And that's what his poetry does. He just gives me a mental massage, almost to the point of meditation. It's pretty impressive. I love how, you know, he crafted the journey through a metaphorical labyrinth, you know, representing path of love and inner journey lovers embark on together. Incredible imagery and, you know, symbolic use of the gemstones. I thought the transition from the physical to the spiritual was seamless. You know, as the lovers moved closer to the epicenter, their journey mirrored by the shift, you know, from tangible gemstones to ethereal presence of the Thunderbird, like you was mentioning. I thought it was a masterful job, you know, blending the tangible with the mystical. He always has a spiritual element to his poetry that I really enjoy. He invites the reader to explore the layers of the meaning with the lover's quest and the ultimate aspirations towards the divine, encompassing love. Once again, incredible job. Very well done, for sure.
That is. It really is. And I like that part of your comment where you said he gives you a mental massage with his poetry. That is very cool. But yeah, you're right. He does oftentimes combine the physical and the spiritual elements within his poetry, which I think works really nicely. So great comment there. All right. Let's see what we got next. We have Scribed Upon My Soul by Stelina. And she was nice enough to make a SoundCloud for us, so here we go.
The path of my life was ever leading to you, like a wayward leaf drifting downstream. You were always there as an elusive dream, as my perfect lover, loyal and true. But just as ships which pass in the night, I failed to see my salvation in your shining light, on my path of life, ever leading to you. Your name was scribed upon my soul by angels' quills from dove's soft wings. At the wonderment of you, my plaintive heart sings. My deepest devotion you unknowingly stole. Unbridled passion you arouse in me, which set my soaring sensuality free, when your name was scribed upon my soul. From your eyes I bathe in soft opalescence, which fills me with desire that caresses my skin, lulling the limerence from deep within. My heart calls to yours in love's sweet essence, for it weeps to be treasured by you alone, as each day my pining for you has grown. Since I first saw your eyes of soft opalescence.
Wonderful read and write there, Stelina. A beautiful recording. Thank you for that. It is very much appreciated. And Stelina wrote to, "You are made perfectly to be loved, and surely I have loved you in the idea of you my whole life long," by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And Jody, your thoughts on Stelina's poem?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a great SoundCloud. She did a very good job with that, you know, the read and the write. She's a very good pen when she gets going on these love poems, for sure. Very evocative poem that, you know, I thought beautifully captured the profound sense of destiny and longing and love. Thought the use of her celestial and natural imagery throughout, you know, such as angels and quills and doves and soft wings, you know, imbued the poem with a sense of divine intervention and the sacredness of love, which I thought she conveyed throughout the poem. Incredible job.
Absolutely. And yeah, a beautiful read by her. And yeah, I like what you had to say about the divine intervention and the sacredness of love. Very cool observation. And I really liked this all the way through, the passion, the power, the emotional impact of it, the way it flows with the imagery and the metaphors and the heartfelt lines. And I fail to see my salvation in your shining light on my path of life ever leading to you. Your name was scribed upon my soul by angel's quills from dove's soft wings. At the wonderment of you, my plaintive heart sings. My deepest devotion you unknowingly stole. Unbridled passion you arouse in me, which set my soaring sensuality free when your name was scribed upon my soul. Such a beautiful line on what it's like to truly desire someone, and not just physically, but emotionally desire them, to know that the love is that you're supposed to share. And I like the emotion in this, and the idea of I like the use of the word pining, you know, that longing for that love and connection. Wonderful, right, and very well done. All right. Up next, we have Angel is a Devil by Blue Leader One. And go ahead, please, Jody, and give that a read.
All right. Let's see, let me get it real quick. All right, here we go. Angel is a Devil. Carmine lips, open and so inviting, so pretty, so twisted. My terror, my little treasure. To her sneer, I disappear. To her spells, I spin and lose myself. This dark delight, dancing in her. I say, oh, please don't bite me, but you can eat me. If you like. Shadows bright. The night is as light emanating from her. Her gravity bends me in my space-time, so beautiful and dear. Her descending spirals call to me, and even the stars fall in her and burn. Into her fire I fall. There she gives me her caress, and I'm happy. You know I'm dead. End poem.
Great read there, Jody. Well, I guess if you have to die, that's the way to go. You know, but wonderful read there, and really intense and passionate line. I like how it speaks on the idea of desiring and being in love with somebody who you know is just a bit dangerous for you. It's got this wonderful dark sensuality. I do like his use of the word carmine instead of just saying, you know, regular like instead of red lips, carmine lips. I thought that was a great way to open the poem. Open and so inviting, so pretty, so twisted, my terror, my little treasure. And great lines all the way through. I did really also like it's dark, dark delight dancing in her. And the bit of humor in the, I say, oh, please don't bite me, but you can eat me if you like. You know, just wonderful lines throughout on falling headfirst into the fire, you know, knowing that you are damning yourself, or damned if you do or damned if you don't, But either way, you know, this love affair is going to happen. And, you know, just, you know, really, like I said, quite a passionate rite with wonderful wordplay. Very well done. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that, you know, explore the paradoxical allure and danger inherent in a figure described both as an angel and a devil. I've known a few girls like that. But yeah, it definitely caught my attention too. The lines, hopefully he don't bite me, but he can eat me. I'm like, oh, okay. he just dropped that right in the middle of the poem.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I thought his repeated use of contrasting ideals, such as inviting yet twisted nature of the subject, effectively captured, you know, the speaker's conflicted emotions that he had throughout the poem. Great use of metaphor.
I was just thinking that this is another one that puts you on a roller coaster ride of emotions. That's what, like when you were talking, that's what that kind of reminded me of going on a roller coaster ride of emotions.
Oh, for sure. You know, it seemed like, you know, his acceptance of fate was driven by an intoxicating mix of fear and fascination. And
there you go.
Deeply emotional yet tragic resonance of the poem, for sure. I thought that was pretty cool. It's a very good write. I like that one.
Yeah, me too. Great comment there, Jody. It is interesting how with human nature we seem to have this fascination with fear. So it is definitely intriguing. That is for sure. All right. And up next we have Panacea by Hoff. And it goes like this. Show me that you're with me. Let your wisdom kiss me as I lay prostrate in your bed where you coax your holy bezoar past the soreness in my throat. So by the greatest of your favors, I am fed. Scribble the sigils of your love on my skin. It'll all be worth it in the end. Because I feel alive when you're at my side, you and your belladonna eyes, your intimacy, your behooving in antimony moves through me. Defile me with your vapors of mercury. Feed me the viper's flesh mixed with your herbs and spices. Bleed me till my heart can no longer fall apart. Let leeches pinch holes in my chest. Light the myrrh and frankincense incense until I forget my past life's pretense. Oh, and it feels so right when I get to watch you eat your meals by candlelight, your plate set on my thigh. Yet, how fortunate had I been, fortunate to have found you before my sickness set in. Sickness sent by my sins I'd been bound to before I'd found you. This all will have been worth it in the end. Together we'll scale boundless mountains of gold and set sail in youthful fountains where our bodies cannot fail due to ailments of old. End poem. And what an absolutely amazing dark sensual rite with the brilliant imagery and metaphors. And they wrote to prompt 10, which was grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. And your thoughts, Jody?
Yeah, I thought that was a beautiful poem. I love the way they intertwine the elements of mysticism, alchemy, and deep, almost transcendental love. You know, thought it created a rich tapestry of imagery and emotions throughout the poem. I like the substances used, mercury, antimony, and the reference to bazaar, alongside, you know, more traditional symbols, such as like candlelight mules and belladonna eyes. Just incredible, right? You know, it suggested a love so profound and transformative, you know, transcended conventional boundaries, and, you know, and the willingness to embrace even the most hazardous path. Pretty wild. It's where it just takes you all the way through it. It's just pretty incredible, right?
It really is. It really is. And I like what you had to say about how they put in the elements of alchemy within the rite, along with the traditional, like, sensual and romantic elements that you would find in the rite like this. But, yeah, really creative imagery and metaphors. Wonderful, passionate. I like that they bring in the myrrh and frankincense incense. The idea of the healing properties of those and the relaxation and the beauty that they bring to the spirit and the mind. I do like the dark sensuality, and especially the belladonna eyes were nice because, you know, it's like, you know, belladonna is a poison, but it's also throughout history been used as a medicine. There's a saying, I forget who said it, but a quote along the lines of the difference between, you know, medicine and poison is dosing. And so I thought that was particularly clever.
That's true.
And I felt bad for butchering that one word, so I apologize for that, but I thought that stanza was great. Feed me the viper's flesh mixed with your herbs and spices. Bleed me till my heart can no longer fall apart. Let leeches pinch holes in my chest. Light the myrrh and frankincense incense until I forget my past life's pretense. You know, love is a beautiful thing that can help us to heal, but oftentimes before the ultimate healing, we have to go through some pain. And then I really like how where it says, yet how fortunate had I been, fortunate I found you in before my sickness set in, sickness sent by my sins, sins I'd been bound to before I found you. You know, and we so much tend to cling on to our past, and clinging on to our past can become a sickness in itself. And, you know, someone who loves us for who we are, and it is, can help in that healing process. So beautiful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, to your point on the medicine and poison, that reminded me, on a job site, guys are always, you know, construction, they're always popping them pain pills. They used to tell them they have pill dyslexia. They take one every 4 hours, they take four every 1 hour.
Yep. Oh, too funny. And Robbie says that word he believes is pronounced antimony. Okay. Well, I will try to remember that in the future. Though, after this show, people may never put that word in their poems again when they send it in. So.
Might be a one and done.
Yeah, the one and only. All right. Well, Jody, I've gone ahead and put your poem up, so go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
All right. So this poem, I was inspired by a woman that was 103 years old. I seen her in an interview, and this is what she was speaking about. She was a nurse, and it was pretty cool, so I listened to it and it inspired me to write a poem about it. It's called The Five L's. In the vast expanse of existence, where time ebbs and flows, there lie the five L's. Like beacons, they glow. Life, the canvas vast upon which all is drawn, an odyssey, a journey from the first break of dawn. Love, the thread that weaves through this intricate tapestry, binding every moment, every memory, so masterly. It's the pulse, the rhythm, and life's ceaseless dance. Without it, we're merely moving, lost in a trance. Laughter, the melody that lightens the soul, with smiles to be seen. It of love, and it's just an empty sound, cold and mean, a hollow echo in the vastness bound. Labor, the forge where our metal is tested true. Sweat and toil painting our days in hues anew. With love's gentle hand to guide the way, for in loving what you do in your life, you won't labor one single day. Listen, the act of opening beyond just hearing, sacred space where understanding starts appearing. But love is the key that unlocks this gate. You truly hear, much wisdom is learned when we close our mouth and open an ear. These five L's intertwine, form the essence of our being. A complex melody, each note, its meaning, gleaning. But love is the linchpin, the core of the heart. Without it, the symphony would fall apart. So let love flow freely in all that you do. For in love we find purpose, our spirits renew. In life, in laughter, in labor, in each silent listen, it's love that completes us. In its absence, we're missing. End poem.
Great read there, Jody, and a wonderful write. Hoff came in and said, thank you so much for the read. And she made they made it just in time to hear it. And they love your accent, by the way. And I apologize, Hosk, I'm really not 100% sure if you're male or female. So, you know, I do apologize for that. I'm sure you'll let us know either way. Yes, Jody definitely does have a great accent. Like kind of that whole, it just feels good. You know, you've got one of those voices, Jody, that just makes a person feel good.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But what a wonderful write, the words of wisdom. And it's so great that you were inspired by listening to that one woman speak. If she has any YouTube videos, you'll have to send me some so I can check them out. Or just send me her name.
Yeah, no, but, that's what I've seen, a YouTube video. I'll send it to you.
Okay, cool. All right. The five L's and such wonderful words of wisdom that really work well with tonight's topic. You know, because, you know, the Brownings both really wrote a lot about the importance of love and what it can mean to this world, and not just romantic love, but having a love for, you know, your fellow human beings. And I like this, you know, love, laughter, labor, listen. And, you know, I like how you wrap this up with the idea that it's love that completes us. In its absence, we're missing. But the other L's in here are just as important. I personally think laughter, especially if you're talking about, you know, friendship or a romantic relationship, you ought to be able to share laughter. And then labor, the forge where our metal is tested true, sweat and toil painting our days and hues anew with love's gentle hand to guide the way. You know, and that stanza there makes me think of the idea of what it means to have a helpmate, what it means to have someone who walks alongside with you and carry the burden with you. Because yes, you can do the work alone, but if you have the opportunity, if you have someone who can be that helpmate for you, you know, isn't it better to share the burden? So beautiful, right, and very well done. And wonderful, right?
Yes.
And would you like to say anything about your poem?
Yeah, in that stanza about laughter, if you notice, it's just empty sound, you know, cold and mean. Like, this is what point she was making. You'll see in the video. Love needs to be with all of it. You know, love needs to be tied in with laughter. It needs to be tied in with love, labor, with listening. You know, like, so imagine if somebody just laughing at you, ridiculing you. That's a different kind of laughter than a laughter that's made with love, right? So I thought that was an interesting point she made. But it's a very intriguing interview that they had with her. 103 years old, she's seen a thing or two. Sure, she might have been around, met the Brownings. Who knows? She's not that old.
Yeah, right. Pretty darn close. Yep, but very cool. Very cool. I like that. All right. And let's see who we have next. We have 50 Shades featuring Lam, 50 Shades, a collaboration between Chaos and Lamra. And it goes like this. Delectable delights, acceptable sights, got you scoped in my eye, won a magic wand with the divine insights, pink lips fused with white, strawberry kisses, store many wishes. You're my D-Day wish list, so let's twist it. Throw me into the air like you envision, lap dance exhibition, my 50 shades of exquisite. Let's get intimate, tangling limbs intricate, delicious desserts, nutrition bursts, enter my core until it hurts. Work me, baby, tease me insanely. Would it be so bold if I called you baby and begged to be your lady? We could bathe the sunshine and get up to all things shady. Lay with me and stay with me, play with me, relate with me. And maybe an eternity in your eyes glisten with what you say to me. Play for keeps, cage release, down under you say it's sweet. I need the recipe, the rest of me will cook up our destiny. Skin caressing beams, layered dreams, we make angels pay for wings. Into playful things, lips forbidden, scripture it's written, streams. And naked seams, your tunnel I love, my experiment, bubble yum, vampiric neck, nips and sweat drips, satellite like Hubble runs, here comes the drums, beating hearts, enter course of seeing stars with every rocket thrust, you clutch tight while I'm beating walls. You tame the god of war, Venus vixen, drink your elixir, a lustful mixture, sweet as cherry blossoms, peppermint liquor, thunderstorms, pounding rain as I'm caught in your twister, rolling hips, vice grips, then I explode like a missile. As we lay watching ceiling fans, hungry hearts feeding hands, devour luscious time, as the hourglass reading sand, this love is on demand. Watch my soul expend, and you're such a good girl. Obey my every command. End poem. And what an amazing collaboration, as always, between Chaos and Lamra. They were the one collaboration we had, which I said earlier was fine because I invited people to do them because we were featuring the two poets that were known for their romantic marriage and relationship. But it wasn't necessary, but still, this was just absolutely beautifully done. And your thoughts, Jody?
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was, a very vivid and sensual exploration of desire and intimacy. I love the use of playful language such as delectable delights and strawberry kisses, with daring expressions like lap dance and exhibition, 50 Shades of Exquisite. I thought it created a dynamic and engaging texture to the poem. I love the metaphors and the analogies. I like the "we make angels pay for wings" and "your tunnel love my experiment." That's pretty cool. I added a little intrigue to the narrative of the poem. I thought the structure, was impactful. Occasional rhymes throughout. Overall, just a great exploration of the physical and emotional dimensions of a romantic relationship. So, I thought they did an incredible job with that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And as you were saying, a wonderful comment there. I like how it speaks on the dynamics of a relationship, and especially the sexual dynamics. Wonderful back and forth, great rhyme and flow, beautiful use of imagery and some alliteration. And, I really like the sense of connection and playfulness within this. The idea of a couple who enjoys experimenting together, enjoys sharing these intensely passionate moments. I also like her wordplay with spelling like core with a K, like since her name it starts with a K, I thought that was really clever. And let's get intimate, tangling limbs, intricate, delicious desserts, nutrition bursts, enter my core until it hurts, work me, baby. I mean, just really amazing lines there. And then he also does really well with the wordplay, the imagery and metaphors. Satellite like Hubble runs, here comes the drums, beating hearts, enter course of seeing stars with every rocket thrust, you clutch tight while I'm beating walls. Just amazing, amazing, passionate, sensual right, and very well done to the both of them. And let's see what we have next. What was I going to grab next? That is a good question. All right, here we go. We have "She Said Forever, But Not All of the Time" by Bookworm Dave 227. And go ahead, Jody, and give that a read.
All right. "She said forever, but not all of the time. Her gaze and smile drew you in. Luck is a cruel lady as she snuck by with a can of Coke, smiling at me with a coy grin, whispering to me, 'What are you doing here?' 'Waiting for you,' I whispered back. Her dress flowed down, accenting everything. Her long strawberry blonde hair flowing down to her lower back, her emerald green eyes. She enticed me with her mind. We had a history class. Often we would spar, but it was never mean, never hurt. But it was a test, which I did not study for, nor did she. Dancing, snacking, and Coke. when we talked, it was about everything, nothing too. It was sometimes empty chatter. Word games were her forte, facing her as an unworthy opponent. We would be together as a couple most of the academic year. Then came the tear-filled note. "I need to get out of here," it said, tears blurring her ink. Facing her departure left me isolated. She was my world. Now I would face it alone. Determined to find her, searching MySpace, Facebook, and now just plain Google. Nothing. Disappeared to the vast memory library. End poem.
Great read there, Jody. And what a wonderful write by Bookworm Dave 227. I like how he uses the imagery of everyday life with the luck is a cruel lady, which made me think of the musical Guys and Dolls. And as she snuck by with a can of Coke, smiling at me with a coy grin, whispering to me, "What are you doing here?" Wonderful opening lines. I also like his description of the woman with her long strawberry blonde hair and her emerald green eyes. He brings us back in time to that young love that cannot be forgotten and you want to find again, but unfortunately it's disappeared, never to be found again. So wonderful, right, and very well done. And your thoughts, Jody?
I thought, you know, definitely captured the, you know, nature of youthful relationships. It was relatable to me, too. In my youth, I let a girl go like that and always wondered whatever happened to her, never did hear from her again. That's pretty interesting. I was thinking of that. I haven't thought of her in many, many years. But it's cool how poetry does that for you. You know, I like the references to modern technology and search for a lost love. I never took it that far, but it's a thought. But, you know, I thought he underscored the universal and timeless theme of searching for something that may forever remain just out of reach. Yeah, it definitely, you know, resonated with me and then probably anyone who's ever experienced the bittersweet tang of a love that was intense yet transient. Yeah, I thought it was very good, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a relatable experience for many people. You know, although nowadays it is actually a lot easier to find exes because of social media sites like Facebook. But, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who also don't want to find their exes or be found by them. So.
Very true, very true. It was that song, "All My Exes Live in Texas." That's why I hang my hat in Tennessee.
Yep, that's a good one. That is a good one, yep. And up next, we have "Love Naturally" by Robert J. Tice. Tice. My apologies. "Through teeming meadows of my mind, you're every flower evergreen, each bird and breeze and butterfly, the life that wakes my world alive and makes these acres paradise. In this grand canyon of my heart, you are the river carving hard. You open me and deepen me, so now my echoes sing your name near endlessly with clarity. Beneath my oceanic eyes, you dive and swim, find what I've lost, the emptied shells and tempest wrecks, the sunken wonders, treasure chests, blue whales of my elusive truth. And through this sky of light, my soul, you bring me stars, the moon, bright rays, a glimpse of heaven, visions, peace. I think of God, the coming dawns, horizons, seasons, timeless space, which is to say you're all my earth, the one place in this universe I know I'm home with when anywhere, and we'll plant leafy memories, then watch them burgeon with our love and poem. And what an absolutely beautiful rhyming poem. And he dedicates this right to one of the subjects he has, his wife. So I imagine that he dedicates this beautiful poem to his lovely wife. And your thoughts, Jody?
Well, I thought that was an incredible read by you, and fascinating, right? Fascinating. I love how he navigated the metaphorical landscapes of the mind, heart, and soul, you know, to articulate the profound impact of the love he shares. A vivid imagery, you know, nature, you know, with the meadows, canyons, and the ocean, and the sky. I thought he definitely encapsulated the depth and beauty of their emotional world. And just each stanza, you know, is a different element of nature. You know, his sense of wholeness and unity throughout it, which I thought that was, you know, kind of made the ordinary extraordinary. Yeah, very incredible, right? I like this one a lot. You know, I thought the closing lines, you know, beautifully tied together the sense of belonging and growth, you know, emphasizing that love is the ultimate foundation for building, you know, life's precious moments. So great job on that.
It really is, absolutely. Yeah, and I like that wonderful comment, Jody. Yeah, this is beautiful. As I was saying, great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery and metaphors. And, you know, as you had mentioned, Jody, just really great use of nature imagery, and seeing the spirituality with, I like how it speaks on seeing the spirituality within love and how it helps us to grow as a person. I really like, in this grand canyon of my heart, you are the river carving hard. You open me and deepen me. So now my echoes sing your name near endlessly with clarity. Just beautiful emotive lines. Wonderful write and very well done. And the... what we have next. We have Her Little Feet by Ken Smith. And go ahead, please, Jody, and give that a read.
All right. Her Little Feet. 10 candy red nails, bright rubies on a necklace adorn her ankles. Park goddess. They walk in air just above the sand. Glinting tiny fish follow after them, caught up in their beauty. My only wish to be one of those fish. And foam.
Great read there, Jody. And what a wonderful sensual brevity. You know, I'm not a foot person myself so much, but I do admire when somebody can write a sensual poem that focuses in on one part of the body and gives it such an elegance, you know, and from the first line to the last, and that little bit of humor in the last works really nicely with my only wish to be one of those fish, you know, to want to, you know, be at somebody's feet. It really speaks to me on the act of worshipfulness or the act of worshiping love and sensuality. And brilliant lines all the way through. But I did also particularly like Park Goddess, they walk in air just above the sand. Wonderful lines and very well done. And your thoughts, Jody?
Yeah, I mean, for such a small write, I thought he did a great job merging, you know, the imagery of the mundane with the mystical, you know, transforming a simple observation into a whimsical fantasy. That was pretty cool. You know, I thought it had a sense of lightness to it and grace, but also, you know, kind of a magical realism. I thought, you know, he transitioned perspective from the tiny fish glinting and then caught up in their beauty, kind of added a layer of dynamic to the interaction between, you know, the observer and the one being observed. So I thought that was pretty cool, too. Overall, you know, he just did a very good job with that. That was nicely done.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And let's see. Up next, we have A Spark of Red by La Belle Rouge. And it goes like this. He had watched the women with their shiny raven hair, their dark eyes dancing, and mocha skin beyond compare. He had watched and lusted for mysterious touches in the dark, but it required a scarlet spark to ignite his restless heart. He had gazed on the beauty of the ladies with fair skin, their soft, curly flaxen locks and azure eyes beckoned him. He played sexy lover's games with buxom blondes in his brain, but then her long fiery tresses drove his imagination insane. He watched her across the room, quite the proper lady portrayed, with red hair up in a chignon, black dress aloof she stayed. He longed to see burgundy hair falling down around her waist, and from her pouting scarlet lips he thirsted to take a deep taste. Her jade eyes spoke without words of a paradise he might yet explore. He wanted to see that black dress crumble on the bedroom floor. He imagined her ivory expanse of skin lying accessible naked on his bed. And then the canvas of his desire was painted entirely rich, warm red. End poem. And Jody, your thoughts?
Wow, that's a great read. Very incredible, right? Very sensual. I love the picture in it. That's a beautiful redhead she posted. I thought, you know, there's no in-between on redheads either. Drop dead gorgeous or not very good looking at all. It's very seldom in between. Anyway.
It does sometimes be that way, yeah.
I thought I liked the vivid themes, you know, that she used, the desire, the attraction, and the powerful allure of the unknown. I liked her use of colors, raven, mocha, azure, and particularly red. You know, serve not just as descriptors, but as symbols as well. You know, red acting as a metaphor for passion, I think, and danger, and, you know, something that's forbidden. I think the structure was awesome too, you know, and the rhythm, you know, it enhanced the storytelling as you was reading it. So I thought that was pretty cool. And
it is.
It's an overall great write.
It really is. It really is. Absolutely wonderful comment there. I'm laughing a bit at this one comment that you got on their poem, which I won't read the whole comment, but part of it goes, yes, we all dream of a fiery redhead, but we like to keep them in our dreams because we all know redheads are crazy.
That's funny.
That's too funny. But yeah, this is a wonderful poem. Great rhyme and flow, brilliant storytelling. I like how it tells a story of a man who's, you know, tried out and, you know, been amongst all kinds of different women, you know, played the games that are both physical and emotional and mental. And the one woman that drives him truly crazy is that fiery redhead who puts on that show of being ladylike, but underneath that ladylike exterior is this, you know, heart of passion and desire. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right. And here we go. Our next poem is Nothing Else Matters by Eric Meyer. And go ahead, please, Jody, and give that a read.
All right. Nothing else matters. So close. Our bodies breathe the same air. Lungs filling and sighing as if we shared a single diaphragm. No matter the miles, your pulse beats in me. Couldn't be more from the heart if it tried. Each throb a drumbeat of our paired existence, forever trusting in the cipher of skin and bones that we are, have been, will be, and in those depths, nothing else matters. The fortress of self I built, stone upon stone, walls never before breached, now stands with gates flung wide open. This way of being is novel to me. A life claimed as ours, tangled and sweet. We gather its moments and live them our way. And I find myself speaking, words falling, like pomegranate seeds, all I've ever never dared, but for you, and you know, nothing else matters. In the search for trust, my hands find yours, strong and certain, more familiar than my own. Each day blooms, ours to tend to, something new, painted against the constancy of the sky. While our minds stretch, inviting different views, the panorama from your eyes merging with mine, a landscape redrawn by trust, and in that shared vision, nothing else matters. Never cared for the demands of the crowd or the hushed whispers of the knowing ones, but I understand now, in the core where truth lies, the tangle of nerves and blood that sings your name. So close, my love, we are the map of proximity, no matter the expanse betwixt. Our understanding is near, our words spun from the marrow. Couldn't be more honest, more entangled in the heart's deep tissue, forever entwining the I and you into an us. A trust in the beat and breath of what we've become. In this fusion, I find my belief, my creed, where nothing, not one thing else matters. End poem.
Great write, not write, sorry. It is a great write, but great read, Jody. And a wonderful write by Eric Meyer. I really like this, the imagery and metaphors, the beautiful heartfelt line, how it speaks on putting up that fortress to protect yourself from getting hurt, but finding then that person that you deeply connect with, that someone that you know you're meant to be with, and the idea of the two becoming one. I mean, and amazing lines all the way through. I do especially like, no matter the miles, your pulse beats in me. Couldn't be more from the heart if it tried. Each throb a drumbeat of our paired existence, forever trusting in the cipher of skin and bones that we are, have been, will be, and in those depths, nothing else matters. Wonderful line. And Jody, your thoughts?
I enjoyed the undertone of Metallica's Nothing Else Matters throughout this poem. I thought that was very well done.
Yep.
I thought he beautifully conveyed the vulnerability and trust inherent in deep emotional connections. He explored the transformative power of such a relationship, highlighting how it redefines self and the mutual reality of the individuals involved. I thought, his theme of shared existence and perception, kind of invited the reader as I was reading to reflect on the depth and the exclusivity of my own relationships in my life. So, oh, that was very well done.
Absolutely. And, relationships can be a complex thing, that's for sure. And I like that you brought up the song from Metallica, Nothing Else Matters, because I was thinking in my head, isn't that a song? But for some reason, and I should have remembered that, but for some reason it was completely just, you know, not getting into my head that it was a Metallica song. So
I could hear it playing as I was reading.
Now I can hear it. Now it'll be an earworm.
For sure.
All right. Let's see. Do I have to refresh? Because I swear I posted it. Yep. All right. And this, I don't know if this will be our last poem for the night or our second to last. We'll probably have some carryovers, which will either be on next week's Art of Seduction or the week after. And I'll let people know when I know. So this is "You Crossed an Ocean to Find Me" by Anna N. O'Day. And it goes like this. You crossed an ocean to find me and moved mountains to be the one who rests their head on my chest at night. But what did I do? I was in pain because a name stuck in my brain and I read the letter again and again to understand their end. And then I met you. We seemed to have a deeper connection right from the start, like we were two lovers from a century apart. Then I had a tattoo. I thought, you're here for the journey, and in a few months you'll be gone. But now I hope someday you will be my forever home. End poem. Oh my goodness. Speaking of, you know, relationships that have a lot of ups and downs and twists and turns, this was quite the emotive piece. And your thoughts, Jody?
Yeah, I thought, you know, as the narrative unfolded, you know, it revealed the speaker's initial emotional turmoil tied to a past relationship, you know, that highlighted the complexity of human emotion and difficulty of moving on from that. I mean, that is a thing, you know. I mean, you can't just jump from one relationship to another. It's not that easy. It's very complex at times. Much as we'd like to be able to do that, it's just not possible sometimes, depending on how deep the connection was. But I thought the poem concluded on a hopeful note, you know, with the speaker realizing that this relationship, once she thought to be temporary, you know, might indeed become a forever home. So, you know, I like how that transition from uncertainty to hope, you know, from past pain to present love speaks to the transformative power of a deep connection. You know, definitely has the potential, I think, for personal growth and healing within them. So, yeah, I enjoyed that read.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, there is a sense of both uncertainty and hope within this line. The idea of the confusion of who's the right person to love, and you know, getting a tattoo when you're in a relationship, never a good idea. So
no, not even a little bit. you'll be getting it covered up eventually, I'm sure.
Right, exactly. Have it made into something else, like a burning skull or something.
Right.
But yeah, wonderful lines at the end of the hope of finding that forever home within the arms of love. So amazing write and very well done. And let's see here. I'm going to put up a short write as our last one, and then we will have for carryovers, we'll have Zach, we'll have Liquid Snake, and we'll have Charles Gradante. And so our last poem for the night will be by Grant G. And as soon as I get to the room and post it, you can go ahead and give it a read. And it is called "Calm and Tame" by Grant G. And go ahead and give that a read, Jody.
All right. Calm and tame. Underneath sky we live, stormy, blue, or gray. My heart you fill anytime, no matter sun or rain. In fact, I need remember that without you causes pain. Before you came into my life, only prison knew my name. I lived gangs, crime, and crap, lost in all my blame. I lived in shadows cast, my mind gone insane. Now I walk tall and proud when people call my name. You're the reason I smile and laugh. My rebels, calm and tame. You showed me love. You gave me love. Without that, there'd be no flame. End poem.
Great read, Jody. And what a beautiful, emotive, and powerful write by Grant G. I like how he writes about love, but he writes about it in the context of the raw reality of some people's life. How the first stanza looks at the past of the life, the time spent in prison, living a life of you know, pain that you suffered and, you know, pain that you caused, and the insanity of it all, and how there's this sense of hopelessness about what life will be for you and what love will be for you. And then the last two, the second to last stanza and the ending couplet speak on that healing and rejuvenating power of love. And I especially like, now I walk tall and proud when people call my name. And that's the beautiful thing about somebody who will love you and accept you for who you are. It changes your whole demeanor. It changes the way you view yourself. You find yourself feeling worthy of love. So amazing write and very well done. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, if you can stand in front of someone and just lay it out there, all your shortcomings that you've had in your life, and they still love you anyway. I mean, that's true love, for sure. And it's got to make you feel good. I thought he spoke candidly, you know, about his troubled past. You know, and I think the honest reflection on that, you know, both literal and metaphorical, kind of underscored the depth of the transformation within this poem. His use of natural imagery and personal revelation, you know, beautifully conveyed the theme of redemption through love. And it's, you know, a testament to the idea that love has the power to heal, to change, and to bring light into the darkest corners of our lives. Left me with a sense of optimism and belief in the power of love. So very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I must agree. Wonderful comment. And great show tonight, Jody. Thank you so much for being here with me. I really appreciate you. And thank you, Robbie and Hosk, for hanging on the board in LNP. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Please make sure to keep an eye out on the contest and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And have a wonderful night, everyone.
Good night, fam.